Today's shiur is Masechta Babasra, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin, and we will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Mem Vav on Beis, three lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Man Tana Lahod Tana Rabbanan. Ask the Gemara, who is the Tana of the following Braisa? The Braisa says, Hareisha Yechayla Umutl B'mita. If somebody is not well, and he's so not well, he's unfortunately stuck in bed, and the people ask him, who do you want to leave grass it's for? Amalan, and he says, Daima Sheshli Ben. I always was under the assumption that I had a son, and obviously that son would be my Yairish. Achshav Sheinli Ben. Now, by you asking me this question, it becomes obvious that my son is not alive. Because if my son were alive, why would you ask me this type of a question? Daima Shein Li Ben. Then I don't have a son. Nichse L'Ploini. So if that's the case, my asset should go to whichever individual he identified. Similarly, Hayichayla Mutal Mamitay. There was somebody who was, again, very ill. Amrlo, and they asked him, Nichse L'Mi, whom do you want to leave your assets? Vama lehen, and again he said, Damish ishti muberis. I was always working, living with this assumption that my wife is pregnant and that the child that will be born from my wife will be my yorish. Achshav, but now that you're asking me this type of question, it becomes quite obvious that unfortunately, ain't embarrassed that my wife is no longer pregnant. If that's the case, I want all my assets to go to this individual. And then, it turns out that he does have a son, and his wife is still pregnant. Then, what he said is disregarded, because he only said it because of whatever circumstances. Now that Baruch Hashem, it wasn't the way he thought, so that's why the asset should be given to whoever his son. Lema, should we say that this Braisa is teaching us that we follow on Umdana, which is the opinion of Rav Shimon Menashe that we learned in the previous year, that Rav Shimon Menashe, as we discussed at the end of the previous year, that when somebody gave away his assets, again, based on the misinformation that his son is dead, and then it turns out that his son is not dead, what he gave is meaningless. And it's not the opinion of Rabbanon that if he didn't say it clearly, that we just disregard what he said. Answers, the Gemara feel tame Rabbanon. Even the Rabbanon would agree in this case that we disregard this gift that he gave. And the reason being, says the Gemara, Filotem Rabbanon, Doimishani. He, by saying the word Doima, what he meant to say is that shows that, as if, the way I saw the Rishonim, the Chronim explained, that if it's as if he made a condition, as if he stipulated, well, I'm giving it away because my son's not here, my wife is not pregnant. And the way the Chronim explained, there's a difference between when you articulate it versus when it's just an umdana. When it's umdana, so there's a question in halacha, do we rely on umdana or not? It's very much connected to what we discussed in our previous year. Is an umdana contradictory to the concept of dvarim shebelev, enim dvarim? But that's only when it's something that we're basing what we're doing on an umdana, basing it on an assumption. Here, it's not an umdana. It's something that he said. When he said it very clearly, then the halacha is that we follow what he said. With a carole, my carole, ask the Gemara. So this answer is so obvious. So ask the Gemara, what was the question that anybody should disagree here? Answers the Gemara, Madutema, Tsari Hudukamitka. When he is saying, my son is dead, and that's why I give it to this person. My wife is not pregnant, give it to this person, he wasn't creating a stipulation. What he was doing is he was speaking about the unfortunate situation in which he finds himself. Teaches us the Gemara, Kamash Malan, no, that when he said it this way, as we said a second ago, it means that he's creating a stipulation. And therefore, if it turns out that it's not the way he stipulated, the gift is not a gift. Says the Gemara, Amarav, Zeira, Amarav. Menayim lematana shkimara, shimina toira. So as we mentioned in our previous shir, one of the concepts that we've been discussing extensively in our shiurim is the concept of the divrei shkimara, kiksuvim, kimsurim dari. And the Gemara wants to know, what is the source for this? So, posh pshat, when the Gemara here says, Menayim lematana shkimara, shimina toira, the question the Gemara is saying is that shkimara, this concept that we just learned, is shkimara is a din d'oraisa. The problem with that approach is that the one that's saying this halacha is Rav Nachman over here is saying that it's a minat Torah, as we're going to learn in a moment. And one of the mandamim that we're going to learn later in this year is says that it's midrabanan. How do we reconcile this? So in the Rishonim there are two different approaches. One approach in the Rishonim is that even when the Gemara here says minat Torah here, it doesn't mean that it's midaraisa. It means to say that the concept that we often discuss, the divrei shkimara kiksuvim kimsurim dami, is a very strong concept. It has the strength of something that's midaraisa, but of course it's not a din daraisa. That's one approach. The other approach is that even though we seem to have Rav Nachman contradicting himself, do you hold it to daraisa? Do you hold it to drabonon? One of the times Rav Nachman is being quoted is Rav Nachman indeed saying his own opinion. And the other time Rav Nachman is being quoted is when he's saying the opinion of his Rebbe. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'bnei Yisrael t'dab b'leimer, ish kiyom so ben enloi. We speak about the Torah, we spoke about this in the previous parak. If somebody passes away and he has no son, V'avartem es nachlosoi lebitoi. So the question is, why does the Torah have to use the word V'avartem? What is the point in teaching us that word? It should have just said lebitoi. So we say from here yesh lecha avar cheres shikazu v'ezazu matana shchimra. When a son, or in the case that we're discussing now, a daughter yash and a father, the yerusha works without kinyanim, and the Torah is teaching us there's going to be another circumstance where it's going to work without, that's going to work without a kinyan. And that is that a matana shchimra works without a kinyan. There's another approach in the Achroinim, how to understand this Gemara. The Gemara is saying that approach is based, why did the Torah use the word v'avartem rather than using the word v'nasatem? That's why, to teach us that there's another case where assets are transferred, and that's by matana shchimra. Rav Nachman Amar, Rabbi Ravu Mehocha, this is Rav Nachman that we quoted. Minasatim is Nachlosa La'achiv. Again, the Torah there says, Imein Loibas, if somebody doesn't have any sons, doesn't have any daughters, then Minasatim is Nachlosa La'achiv. Yesh Lecha Necher, and we learn from here, Yesh Lecha Nesin Acher Shikazu. There's another circumstance where the Kenyan works without any, it works without any Kenyan, and that is, whereas that, Vezazu Zu Matana Shchimara, that's the Matana Shchimara. So of course, as the Gemara, we have two different limudim to teach us the same thing. And what the Gemara's question is, what will each opinion do with the other one's pasuk? Ask the Gemara of Nachman, my tamalai amam me'avartem. Rav Nachman, why doesn't he learn from the word v'avartem? Answers the Gemara, he needs the apostle to teach us what Rebbe taught us. The Tani Rebbe Amar, the Kulon, when we speak about all the Yerushas, when the Torah speaks about all the Yerushas, Namva Nesina, the Torah uses the word Nesina. When the Torah speaks about a daughter being a Yerush, Kan, when the Torah speaks about a daughter being a Yerush, the Torah uses Havara, a different word than is usually used. Enlecha, and what the Torah is trying to express. And what the Torah is teaching us is that when one's daughter is his Yairish, what happens is that as we discussed earlier in the Masechta when we were discussing the halachas, the episode of the Vinay Tzolofchad. And what we learn from there is that when a daughter is the Yairish of a father, the father got his share amongst his Shevet, and now when the father dies without any sons, and then the daughter is his Yairish, and if the daughter marries someone from a different Shevet, when she will pass away, it's either her husband or her sons who will be her Yarshim, and they, if they are from a different Shevet than her father, it means that piece of land will no longer be with that Shevet where it was previously. Rav Zeira now asked the Gemara, Rav Zeira might have Malayim of Nesatem. What does he learn from the word Nesatem? Says the Gemara, that doesn't represent something special to him, because that's the wording that the Torah always uses. Rav Nashibar Yimayama, he says a different pasuk from where we learn the concept of Divresh Gemara, Kiksum Kiksum Dami. He learns it Mihacha. The Torah speaks, the pasuk in Melachim, speaks about Melech Chizkiah, who was very sick because he never wanted to get married and have children, because he was concerned, because he saw in Ruach HaKodesh that the children that he would have would not be the way it's supposed to be. And Yeshaya comes to tell him, "B'hadi kafshid rachmana l'malach." It is not our place to question what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. We are supposed to do what we're supposed to do. And therefore, if the Torah tells us there's a mitzvah pur vu that we're supposed to get married, that's what we're supposed to do. And the pasuk says, "B'yam mehem chala chizkiyah lamus." Chizkiyah was very ill. V'yav alav Yishai ben Amitz Hanavi. V'yam alav, and he tells him, "Kai am Hashem tzav lebeisecha k'meis ata v'leisichia." And the Torah, the fact that Chizkiyah was told to do this, and just tzavla beisecha, just give direction. No kinyan required. Tzava ba'alma. We see that why was that satisfactory? Because he was a shchimera. And a shchimera doesn't have to make a kinyan in order that what he says should be acceptable. Of course, the Rishonim ask, as we said, where we just quoted as a pasuk in Navi, in Melachim, and throughout Shas, we know that halacha is Divrei Torah, Medivrei Neviim, Medivrei Kabbalah. We don't learn halachas that affect the Raisa from Psukim in Nach. So how could this serve as a source? So explains the Tosfos Rosh that the halacha of Divrei Shchemira really is a halacha of Moshe Sinai. This episode that we just quoted is only meant to be a proof that it was actually followed, but it's not that we learn it that way. The pasuk tells us that after Achitofel advised Avshalom, who the son of Dovra Melech, who rebelled against Dovra Melech, and he told him to run after David and kill him by himself before there's a war, and that advice was not followed. Says the pasuk, Achitofel sees that his advice was not followed. V'yachvish es chamor, he himself prepares his donkey. V'yelech abeisoy el iroy, he goes home. V'yitzav abeisoy v'yichonek. So we see from here that again there was no need for kinyan. He was in this bed. He was in a place that he was like a shchimera. And therefore, b'tzavah ba'alma was satisfactory. But what we learn from this Gemara, as the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch teach us, is that normally when we think about Divrei Shchemira k'ksuv k'msurim dami, we speak about a person who's very ill. Our Gemara is teaching us that the definition of a Shchemira is not only somebody who's very ill. It's referring to anybody who's about to die. And therefore, in this Gemara, where Achitofel that we just discussed, or the Achitofel we just discussed, or Chizkiyahu HaMelech, they were about to die. And since they were about to die, they also have that category, which is an interesting discussion. If somebody gave direction about whatever, and then that person ended up, Rahman Slan, committing suicide. The question is such a person treated like a Shchimera? Do we say that he knew he's going to die? Or do we say that's only somebody who is actually very, very, very sick? And it seems that based on this Gemara, that we could have a proof that the person, even though he wasn't ill at all, is considered Shchimera. Of course, well, maybe you need to think about, is he mentally not well if he's in such a place? But the fact that he was not confined to a bed, does that, and therefore we would think that he's not a Shchimera, from here we see it's not necessarily, that's not necessarily the requirement to be considered a Shchimera. Tarabana Shlosha of Varm Tziva Achitofel, Esponov, Achitofel gave his children three directions before he passed away. Al tiyu b'machloikus, don't be part of a machloikus. V'al timidu b'machus beis David, don't rebel against machus beis David. V'yantu shal atzeres borur, if on Shavuos the weather is nice, zroach chitim, plant wheat, because it's a proof that this year the wheat will be successful. Says the Mashab, by him using the words of al tiyu b'machloikus, rather than just saying al tachloiku, there's a lot more than just don't be in a machloikus. What we're learning here is al tiyu b'machloikus, you shouldn't be the people that cause machloikus, even if you're not going to be in the machloikus. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that even if they are in a machloikus, for whatever reason they fell into a disagreement, al tiyu, don't remain don't remain with that machloikus long term. And as soon as you get out of being in the machloikus, completely avoid. Then he told them, if yontif shalatzeres barur, if on yontif of shavuos it's a nice, then zrochitim. What does that mean? So since that's the day on shavuos. Is the day that we bring the Karban Shtei Alechem. As we know, there's a din of Chadosh, we're not allowed to eat the new grain. So the new grain may not be eaten by people until Pesach, the second day of Pesach. In the Beis HaMikdash, we can't bring Kabbonis, Karban Mincha, from the new grain, from the Chadosh, until Shavuos. And that's when they bring the Karban Shtei Alechem. And what he was telling them is that if you see that Shavuos is a nice day, then the halacha is bring chitim and plant chitim, and you'll see that you'll be successful. The Mashal has another pshat that chitim, by eating wheat, it helps us learn Torah, turn better. And because it helps us learn Torah better, what he was telling them is plant wheat and you'll be able to succeed in your learning. The Maral has a different approach to this Gemara. He says what Achitofel was trying to do, he was trying to warn them about machloikus, because Achitofel, who was the one that taught them to do this, to rebel against David, he told them that I realize machloikus never works. And he told them, when does it become easy to rebel against the king? It becomes easy to rebel against the king when there's no chitim, when there's no wheat, when the economy is bad. So he said, make sure there'll be enough wheat. That's the way there won't be any machloikus. And then he goes to say that when we speak about shalom, when we speak about machloikus, there are three places that we need shalom. One is shalom bayis, that at home everything should be in harmony. How is that accomplished? When there's chitim, when there's enough panosa in the home, that brings to shalom bayis. The next is to get along with everybody else. And that's why he said, shalayu b'machloikus, avoid machloikus. The next is that it's important for our entire nation to have unity. And that's why he said, Al Timurdu, don't rebel against the king, don't rebel against Malchus Beis David, and like if that, our entire nation will be b'shalom with each other, and when our entire nation will be b'shalom with each other, that's the way to be. The Ben Yoyada has a different approach to this Gemara. He says that Achitofel was constantly an enemy of David HaMelech, and what he used to say was that David HaMelech had relations with Bathsheba. And the question is, as the Gemara discusses, was Bathsheba still married at that time or not? We know that she wasn't. But Achitofel would used to say that she was an Eishes Ish. And that means David is a Rasha. And Shlomo, who was born from her, would be a Mamzer. David HaMelech was born on Shavuos and passed away in Shavuos. And that's the reason. And we also read Megillas Rus and Shavuos, which proves that speaks about the Yichus of David HaMelech, to prove who David HaMelech was. Because we know that Tzaddikim, they pass away the day that they are born. The fact that David HaMelech was Nifter on Shavuos is a proof that David HaMelech was a Tzaddik. And that therefore, Shlomo HaMelech was fit to be king. So therefore said Achitofel, Atei b'machloikis, the machloikis that I made with David HaMelech was wrong, because David HaMelech is a tzaddik, and therefore the machloikis was wrong. Therefore, al timrdu b'machlis beis David, don't rebel against machlis beis David. The yontif shalat seres, this yontif ashvuas barur is a yontif that teaches us that Shavuos is that Barur, that there's no question who is David HaMelech and how great David HaMelech is, and that we should remember that and pay attention. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanim. Mazutra Amar, Rav Zutra says Balul. If on the contrary, if Shavuos is not nice weather, then we know that the year, that's the time to bro chitin. Itmar, so the Gemara discusses this machloikis. When do we plant? Do we plant if Shavuos is borer, is nice, or do we plant on the other way? Says the Gemara, Itmar, Nadoi Mishmei de Rabbi Yaakov, Loi borer. When it said borer, it doesn't mean borer mamish, that has to be absolutely clear. For Loi borer, when it says cloudy, it doesn't have to be polo mamish, a really cloudy day. Ela filu borol, even if it's cloudy, but there's a northerly wind that disperses the clouds, zoi borol, that's good enough for that day to be considered a clear day. We relate what we're learning now to what Yitzhak Bar Avdimi taught us. Dom Rav Yitzhak Bar Avdimi, Matzah Yontav Akra Shel Chag, on Matzah Shmini Atzeres, which we know on Shmini Atzeres is the day that we say Tfilas Geshem. Today, it's a day that's very much related to the rain, to the weather, what's going to be with the economy. Hakot Soifin Lashon HaMerocha, there was constantly smoke coming up from the Mizbeach. And they would look at the direction that smoke that was coming up from the Mizbeach was blowing. Not the Klepet Safim. If it's blowing towards the north, Aniyim Smechim V'Albatim Atzevim, then the poor people were happy and the wealthy people were upset. Neshigish Meshanim Merubim, it's going to be a very rainy year. Uperis Markivim, and you can't leave the fruit in the warehouses. The humidity will ruin them. So there's going to be an abundance of fruit in the market, and that's how they'll have panosa. If, on the other hand, not the Klapi Mizrach, if it's blowing towards the east side, Not the Klapadarim, it's blowing towards the south side. And Nimat Sevim Balabatim Smechim. Then the poor people are upset and the wealthy people are happy. It won't rain that much this year. And therefore, Paris Mishtabim. They'll be able to control the supply. And if there won't be a lot of supply, they'll be able to keep the prices higher. Not the Klapad Mizrach. If it blows towards the east, Hakol Smechim. Everybody is happy. It brings the right amount of rain. And therefore, it doesn't completely ruin everything in the warehouses, but it isn't going to be good to keep it that long there, so it'll be a perfect balance. Klapi Marif, if they blow towards the west, Hakol Atzevim, because that means that it's going to be a year with no rain, and of course, if there's no rain, that is very bad for any produce that won't be able to regrow. Ask the Gemara, so here we're saying that the Ruach Mizrachis is not good, because and the Ruach Maravis is good. Ask the Gemara, but this Brisa says just the opposite. This Brisa, because we know that, because if it's blowing towards the east, that means it's a west wind, and if it's blowing towards the west, it means an east wind. Answered Rimini, asked the Gemara, but this Brisa says, Mizrachis Loilam Yofa, Maravis Loilam Kasha, Ruach Tzfoinis, the northern wind, Yofa Lechitin, B'shar Shevi Shlish, V'kosh L'zeisim, B'shar Shinitzu. They're not good for the olives if they blossomed, if they already blossomed. V'ruach Dremis in the southerly wind, Kosh L'chitim, B'shar Shevi Shlish. If the grain already grew a third, then it's not good. V'yofa L'zeisim, B'shar Shinitzu. V'am Rav Yosef, V'teima Mazutra, V'teima Rav Nachman Yitzchak, V'simonach, to remember which is the good wind and which is the bad one. Shulchan B'tzofen, the shulchan which represents the chitim, because we had the lechem upon him, which are made out of chitim, were in the tzofen. U'menoira, which represents Shem Zayis, because they lit the menoira from Shem Zayis, midarim. And what we see from here, ha'imar b'day, ve'ha'imar b'day, the shulchan on the north side. Why was the shulchan on the north side? Because the north side is good for chitim. And why was the menorah on the darm side, on the south side? Because the darm is good for olives. So answers the Gemara. So how do we reconcile all of this? Says Mar Lekasha, Halahon. The Brisa was said to the people who live in Bavel. And Bavel is in a valley. And since Bavel is in a valley, the water that when it rains always accumulates. And therefore they don't need so much rain. And therefore the west wind, the west side, which brings a lot of rain, is not good for them. The east side, which brings more moderate amount of rain, is great. V'alahu, Yitzchak Rav Dimi lived in Eretz Yisrael, where there they need more rain, and therefore the east side, which only brings a small amount of rain, is not good for them. The west side is what the west side, which brings much rain, is good. Is what is good for them. Tanya, Abishol, I'm a Yontif Shel Atzeres Borer. If on Yontif it's a nice weather, Simen Yofu L'Chol Hashana Kula, it's a great sign for the whole year. And the way the Mefarshim explained this Gemara, if on Yontif Rosh Hashanah it's nice, so that means the Gemara says that in order to be successful in learning, nice weather is a critical element. So if it's nice on Shavuos, that means we're going to be able to learn and not have any distractions from our learning. So what we're getting a message is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in our learning. And how is he showing us that? The way he's showing it is by Shavuos, which is the yard of the learning, having nice weather. Amar Rav Zvid, Hai Yom Kamed Reishata, the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Ichamim, if it's hot, Kulishata Chamima. That means that the entire year will be warm. V'karer, and if it's cool, Kulishata Krira, it means the entire year will be cool. Ask the Gemara L'mayin Afgavina, what is the point? Says the Gemara, it's philosopher Shekoyin Godel. The Koyin Godel, as he exited the Koyin Shakadoshim, would say a tefillah. And, of course, the tefillah he said at those moments was a very important tefillah. He just came out of the Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom Kippur. But on the other hand, everybody, the rest of Klal Yisrael, as they stood outside waiting for him to come out of the Beis HaMikdash, because as the Torah says, that no one may be there when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, were most anxious to see that the Kohen exits well. So he said a tefillah, but he had to be very short in the tefillah. And he davened for the weather. Based on what the weather was on Rosh Hashanah, he knew what to be mispalel for. And therefore, how would he know what the weather is going to be? The way he would know what the weather was going to be was based on what the weather was on Rosh Hashanah. Many Mefarshim explained this Gemara, I saw the Imre Emes, and others explain that what the Gemara here is teaching us is based on the way we behave in Rosh Hashanah. If a person on Rosh Hashanah is chamim, if a person on Rosh Hashanah is warm and he davens with a geshmak, then that is a proof for the entire year that his tefillah and his avodas Hashem will be that way. And chas v'shalom, if it's the other way, that's a proof of the way his tefillah, that's an indication of the way he will be, his avodas Hashem will be the entire year. And that's one of the reasons that we know that on Rosh Hashanah, as the Gemara teaches us in Masechet Ahariyos, Hashta the Amrit Simonim Milsahim, that we learn that giving a person, that we follow Simonim, then the first day, then on Rosh Hashanah, we eat many different foods that are an indication of a good sign, as the Shulchan Aruch teaches us, Yadam Rag Lechel Rosh Hashanah, a person should be accustomed to eating Rosh Hashanah, Ruvia, Karsi, Silk, Tamri, different fruits that have a positive connotation. The question is this only on the first day of Rosh Hashanah or on both days of Rosh Hashanah? The Bnei Yisachar, very famously, is of the opinion that the Gemara uses Berei Shata. Why doesn't the Gemara say Rosh Hashanah? What he's saying is that teach us that only on the first day of Rosh Hashanah should the simonim be eaten, not on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. There are others, the Matafraim, are of the opinion that it's both days. And there's a third opinion that I've seen that is of the opinion that, the third opinion that I saw is that Rosh Hashanah, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, not only do we eat the simonim, but the simonim are kept on the table. And on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, we eat the simonim, not just look at them. And on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, they're brought to the table, but they're not eaten. We go back to the halachas of Shchimera. Rav Amar Rav Nachman, Matana Shchimera, the halacha that we keep on discussing, that Matana Shchimera, Kiksuvim Kamsurim Dami, Midrabanan Ba'almahu. It's a takanas to Rabbanan. And why did the Rabbanan institute this takana? Because they were concerned, Shema to Tarav Datavalov. They were concerned that the Shchimera, who is obviously in a very bad place, and we're concerned that if we're going to not follow his opinion, he'll become this, it could affect him adversely. And that's why Chazal instituted the Divrei Shchimera Kiksuvim Kamsurim Dami. And this is a very interesting question. When something is done, if something is done because you're concerned that if you won't do it, what are you doing to that person? Is that something that obligates you? The Shvus Yaakov discusses a Shaila where there was a mother who was not well, and she told her children that if there will be any dispute amongst you when it comes to the Yerusha, I want you to go to this individual to settle any disputes. And then she passed, and they agreed, and then she passed away, and there was a dispute, but one of the sons said that this individual that the mother picked was an Amor, so I want to go to a Talmud Chacham. And they said, but that's what our mother said, and that's what we all agreed to. So he said, I agreed only Shaloi to Tarif Datai. I only did it because I didn't want my mother to be aggravated in her situation. And therefore, it's considered an oinus. And since it's an oinus, I should not have to follow it. So it's a very complicated question. And one of the proof is that we see that Yaakov Avinu saw the need to do it, because Yaakov Avinu did it, told Yosef that he made Yosef swear from the Sosani Mitzrayim that you should carry me out of Mitzrayim, and if you carry me out of Mitzrayim, swear that you won't bury me in Mitzrayim. So we see that even Yaakov Avinu felt the need to do it, and that made Yosef do it. And the question is, was Yaakov Avinu at that point a Shchimer or not? The Chashuki Chemed brings the various opinions about this Shaila, and he seems to say that the Rav Gemara says Divrei Shchimer k'ksuvim k'msurim dami, and unlike what we said earlier in the Shir, he says that it, as Rav Gemara is teaching us, Divrei Shchimer as a takana d'rabbanan, and this takana d'rabbanan was said only under the circumstances that the Rabbanan set forth, and they only set it forth by a Shchimer. So we have to see if the person was a Shchimer, maybe then we would have to follow it. Another way than that. Ask the Gemara, Miyom Rav Nachman Hachi, is this the opinion of Nachman? V'omer Rav Nachman, Avgav Dom Shmuel, Hamoichab Shtar Choyv L'Chaveroi. If somebody has a receivable, a shtar that says that he's owed money, and he sold that shtar to somebody else, V'chazroi Machloi, so the person who was owed the money sold that shtar, and then he was Moichel the Choyv, the halach is that the Mechila is fine, even though he sold it. But feel Yerush Michael. Similarly, if somebody was owed money, he sold that shtar, and then he passed away, and the Malvis Yerush was Michael the Chayiv, the halach is that it's Michael. And of course, the question that we need to discuss is, why is that? If I sold something, why do I have any control? So I saw that the Rishonim debate this, and there are two different approaches in the Rishonim to this question. One approach in the Rishonim is that you really can't sell a Shtar Chayiv. And since you really can't sell a Shtar Chayiv, even though there was a Mechira of the Shtar Chayiv, it's really not something that was of complete legal significance. And since it's not really something of complete legal significance, the original Malva still retains the right to be Meichel. That's one approach. The other approach that the Rishonim say is that when somebody is owed money, there's really two aspects to that obligation. One is that the money is owed. The other aspect is that there's a personal obligation. If I lent you money, besides that there's a document and there's a legal obligation for you to repay what you owe me, there's also a personal connection, a shibra guf, that you have towards me when I lent you money. I could sell the legal obligation, but I can't sell the shibra guf. And since the shibra guf always remains, that's why the halacha is that it's sold. Of course, it's important to point out, this is a famous Gemara, the Gemara comes out often, that if I was Michael, the Chayv, then I could, the Gemara saying that the Mechila is valid. But the question that comes up is that do I have to pay you back? Because now the person who the document was sold to suffers a real loss. He paid for it, and he won't be able to collect. So the halacha is that that person could come back to collect for me. That's when I sold you the shtar. I am the malva, and I sold you the shtar, and then I was Michael the Chayv. So yes, we're learning that that is acceptable, that that's legal, but I have to pay back. But what would be if it wasn't I who was Michael? The Gemara just spoke about the Yerush being Michael. If the Yerush is Michael, so now that may not be considered a direct damage, and there maybe the halacha is that he wouldn't have to pay back. However, continues the Gemara, Moedah Shmuel, Shmuel agrees, Shem Nostum HaMatan HaShchimra, that it was given by HaMatan HaShchimra, any Yochel Limchol, then it would not be able to be forgiven. And the Gemara makes its point. Yam Bishlom Midaraisa, Ev will say, the Divrei Shchimra Kiksum Kamsum Midami Midaraisa, Shemoche any Yochel Limchol, because Midaraisa, what happens is that this is considered a full-fledged halachic transaction, and because it's considered a full-fledged halachic transaction, it can't be retracted. Eli Amrit, if we're going to say that this concept of Divrei Shchimra is only Midrabanon, Amayin Yochel Limchol, it should be no different when somebody sold the shtar or somebody has sold the shtar or a shchimra. Answers the Gemara, even though we are of the opinion that Matana Shchimra is not Shel Torah, it's not Midaraisa, but the Rabbanon were the ones that instituted it, and they gave it such a strong halachic authority, such a strong halachic presence, that a social Torah, it's treated like Shel Torah. Why? As we learned earlier, because Chazal were concerned, Shemati Tarif dat of Alav. I saw a very, very powerful vart on that from Zalman Sorotskin, Zitzal del Slotskarov, in the Sefer Aznayim with Torah. Chazal were thinking, if you have an individual who is an Shchimira, he's in such a terrible place, and all he's about to leave the world, and all he's thinking about is his money and how his money should be distributed. That's the person the Chazal had most rachmanis on. That's what you're thinking about at this point. And that's why Chazal said, if this is the person that we're dealing with, we have rachmanis on him, and that's why we'll say, Divrei Shchimra Kiksuvim Kamsurim Damim.